All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio on 3CR 855 AM. And we're very happy to have Marcus Noyle, who is from the Apollo Bay Fishermen's Corp. And he is part of a campaign, I guess, opposing the proposal from multinational companies who are seeking approval to conduct a 3D seismic survey in a massive area of the Otway Basin, which is offshore from Tasmania, South Australia and Victoria, in order to locate fossil gas deposits below the ocean floor. So, yeah, good morning, Marcus. Oh, good morning, Marcus. Sorry, just forgot to press the button, so I didn't get to hear you. So, good morning, Marcus.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. So, what can you give us, I guess, a bit of an overview of this kind of proposal that's coming from these multinational companies who are basically wanting to do a big sort of seismic survey of in the Otway Basin?
Yeah, well, I guess, first of all, it's worth noting just how large this is. This is a huge proposal. Probably the biggest one we've ever seen in this area. So what it is, it's over 7.7 million hectares. So just for comparison, it's like basically the size of the whole of Tasmania. Now, for listeners who aren't necessarily aware of what seismic testing is, it's a little bit like imagine a tractor in a field towing a massive big plough, and you're going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, and it's like you're ploughing that great big field. So that's a little bit what's happening with seismic testing. You've got a large vessel, you've got a huge array of seismic air guns trailing away from the back of the vessel, and they basically go up and down and backwards and forwards across the test area, blasting these seismic guns that go off about every 10 seconds, and they do it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for literally months on end.
Yeah, how long does it take to plough an area the size of Tasmania?
It'll depend on things like the sea conditions and all the rest of it, but quite literally you could expect something like that to go on for 2, 3 or even more months.
Yeah. And what can you tell us about the kind of potential sort of environmental impacts of this seismic survey?
That's really one of the big concerns, because what we've got is an emerging body of knowledge about the damage that is done by seismic surveys. You've got to appreciate that what's happening is that these seismic air guns release huge pulses of shock waves that are strong enough to go down through the water column 8 kilometres into the bedrock below the sea floor, and then bounce off any oil and gas deposits and come all the way back up to the cedars that are being towed behind the air gun array. So we're talking massively powerful shockwaves that pulse through the water. Now, the petroleum industry, a little bit like the tobacco industry, actually, for a long time has claimed that this is a benign activity. We're now learning more that it isn't. So, for example, as that shockwave pulses through the water column, we now know that it kills all the plankton, the zooplankton, which is in the water column. And that plankton is really the bedrock of the whole food chain. And in this area, which is right along the edge of the continental shelf, it's a really sensitive, important area, which is a part of sort of an annual cycle of nourishment for all the areas along the coast. So there's an event called the Bonny Upwelling each year, where we get nutrient fresh waters flush up over the continental shelf. So while they're doing all this seismic testing, they're actually damaging animals and eggs in the water column, but it also damages what's on the sea floor. So scallops, for example, don't get killed straight away, but 3 months later will likely be dead. And other critters like rock lobsters actually get their sense organs damaged. So it's almost like little hairs inside their ears. They get broken, and so they lose their balance control. So there is damage being done, and unfortunately, our regulatory framework doesn't obligate the petroleum industry to recognise that, and so therefore they're basically allowed free reins to go and do what they want.
Hmm. that gets into the kind of next question, because I guess in your kind of press release, it was sort of noted that Scumberger and TGS, which are the sort of main multinational, which are the multinationals who are pushing this, you know, they've essentially kind of bypassed sort of any sort of real process. And of course, there's been, they've basically been able to get away with having this approved with very much minimal consultation with affected communities, including the traditional owners. So, yeah, and also the broader community who is impacted by this. Can you tell us a bit about that aspect?
Yeah, look, the trouble is that this is a really, really complicated space and probably deliberately made that way. So what normally happens with this sort of exploration is each year the regulatory authority, which in this case is NOPSEMA, which stands for National Offshore Petroleum Safety and Environmental Management Authority, they are the ones who ultimately provide the approvals for this sort of thing. But this process for this particular one has almost bypassed the normal process. So it's not getting the same level of transparency and scrutiny that we would normally expect to have with these sorts of things. And the problem is that in this case, the petroleum industry is largely self-regulating in this environment. So in other words, what that means is they decide who the important stakeholders are. They decide what consultation looks like. They decide what risks they're going to address, and they decide what they're going to do about it. By comparison, if we look at us, say commercial fishers operating in the same environment, we're very heavily regulated. So everything we do, we have to be very cautious. So we have to abide by a thing called the precautionary principle, which means in the lack of scientific certainty, you act in a cautious manner. The petroleum industry does not. So at every step of the way, the petroleum industry is getting away with stuff. They're able to operate behind closed doors. They largely self-regulate, and they are the ones who get to decide who they need to consult with. So the entire regulatory framework is flawed. It's biased towards the petroleum industry, and your average Australian largely doesn't know anything about it.
And what can you tell us? Can you tell us a bit about the community sort of campaign that is kind of developing, I guess, in response to opposing this seismic survey?
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously these sorts of seismic surveys have been going on for decades, but as I say, it's largely been out of sight and out of mind. I think in recent times, there's an emerging awareness of what's actually going on out there, and people are starting to realise the impact that this sort of activity is having, and understandably, they're not very happy about it. So we're seeing more diverse groups becoming involved in this process. Fishermen have been concerned about this for a very, very long time, but now we're seeing more community-based groups who have got a range of concerns, which are not just about the impact to the fishing stocks and the marine environment, but the potential flow-on impacts. You probably remember recently, in recent times, there was a big community-led campaign called Fight the Bite, which ultimately led to the a Norwegian company called Equinor deciding not to go drilling in the Bite. And one of the reasons for that was because of the potential damage that could occur if something goes wrong. And those impacts can lead to, you know, other tourism-related impacts and other environmental damage. So there's an emerging awareness and more groups getting involved because, quite rightly, this is a very high-risk activity and the impacts are very wide.
And what can you go into the sort of, we're getting into sort of some of the conclusion, I guess, of the interview. Can you tell us about, I guess, some of the, I mean, can you tell us about some of the, what are the kind of demands that you're kind of putting to around the state government around this survey, but also what is the sort of campaign going to be pushing for in that area? Is there like a petition that someone, that, you know, people outside the Otway areas can sign? More Polo Bay, actually, because I imagine that's where the sort of campaign is sort of developing. Like, is there sort of like a way of like, you know, the broader community, you know, outside there can also show support?
Yeah, so we've got a local group here called Ocean, and they have broad concerns about protecting our oceanic environment. And what we're looking at doing is building partnerships between other parties who can be concerned. So at the moment, there's not a petition per se. The focus of the campaign at the moment is really around awareness, because we're of the view that the more that people understand what's actually happening at the moment with the system, everyone will have different views on what concerns them. So, for example, fishing and the environment aside, if we take a step back and say, well, hang on, how does this reconcile with the Labor Party, you know, Federal Labor Party's new policy ambitions about net zero in 2050? The fact of the matter is, with our oil and gas reserves, by the government's own reckoning, we've got an existing 40-plus year supply of gas, which would meet all of our needs for the next 40 years in terms of what we already know is there. So why are we going and damaging the environment looking for more reserves when we've already got 40, and 40 years is, you know, a decade beyond net zero, mind you. And then the other thing is, what are Australians getting for it? These once-off resources, you can only suck them out of the ground and sell them once. What benefit does it deliver for Australians? In Norway, for example, they've got a 78% tax on fossil fuel resources, and they've built the biggest sovereign wealth fund in the world on the back of that. So even though once they've done their fossil fuels extraction, as a community and future generations will benefit from that sovereign wealth fund. In Australia, we've blown it. Basically, the multinational companies are coming in, they're sucking all the gas out. 90% of our energy resources are being exported, and Australians are getting nothing for it. So every which way you look at this, it damages the environment. We don't even need it in the first place. And if we are going to do it, we're not even getting any intergenerational benefit from it. You've really got to question why on earth is any of this happening? So in the end, it's got to stop. We've just got to work out how to make our voices heard and help make that happen.
Plenty of oath.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Marcus. I think that was sort of a good way to kind of conclude the kind of interview. And, I'd like to thank you for being on our program. And we definitely have all the solidarity towards your campaign and your fight. I think, it's completely outrageous, I think, what is happening here. And I think, we'll definitely be following kind of any developments on as this kind of unfolds. So, thank you very much, Marcus, for being on our program.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers. Keep it staunch.